Well, let's get into the message the Lord has laid on my heart. Before I share the text with you, I want to give you a little introduction, and then we'll go to the text. As I thought about this particular sermon tonight, and the Lord laid it on my heart, the Lord brought my attention to the word fruit that's in the Bible, F-R-U-I-T. And of course, it's used in many different ways. It's used to determine different species of fruit, for example. But there's one way that it's used in the scriptures that is very clear, and that is that when somebody is saved, born again, part of the family of God, they become fruit, as far as God's concerned, of somebody. And so I thought about that, and I started looking at the verses in the scriptures, and it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It tells us over in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8 in the parable of the sower, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. And then there's a scripture in John chapter 15 and verse 16 that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. He goes in there and tells us, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. In other words, all three of those verses are referring to souls. And God has told us over and over and again that we're to be soul winners. We're to go out and tell others about Christ. We're to be part of this 11,000 contacts. And all that the Lord has allowed you to do and what he wants to do this year in this place, he wants us to reach out and tell others about Christ. He wants us to be soul winners. So in these particular verses, he's not talking about fruit as peaches and apples, but he's talking about souls. He's talking about being born again. I couldn't help but think about the man that led me to Christ. He came from the Clarkston area of Michigan, where we were making our home, the Waterford-Clarkston area. I was in prison in Berga, Michigan, which is up across the bridge. From Clarkston, it's about 550 miles. Well, that's not just a one-hour trip. That's a long trip. He shows up there on June 11th in the afternoon at 3:30. I just got out of work crew. I was out on the road at that particular time picking up trash along the roads. I came in, and I was in my bunk when they called me to the office. I got there, and here's this pastor that I had never met before that was standing there. He had got permission to see me and asked if I would like to talk to him. Well, prior to going to prison, I wouldn't give a pastor the time of day. I was not interested in spiritual things. I didn't care one rip about God. I believed there was no God. Didn't believe there was any hell. I just didn't believe. But God loved my soul, and he sent this preacher by. We went into the cafeteria and sat down, and he shared the gospel with me, how that I was a sinner going to hell. And it wasn't his words. It was the Spirit of God that brought such conviction to my soul, showed me I was hearing the truth. And I bowed my head that day and received Christ as Savior. Now, by the time I'm his fruit forever, he was the one that God used to harvest. And I'm his fruit forever. I will always be his fruit. Can never stop being his fruit. Consequently, now that God has saved me and I got out of prison, been out of prison now over 32 years, I went to Bible college, graduated when I was 42 years old. Brother Tom and I were in Bible college together back in 1983. I think we graduated together, didn't we? But since then, God has placed me into the ministry, first pastoring for 10 years, and then for the last 15, I'm on my 16th year with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, going to prison. Can I tell you what? I have had the privilege of seeing many souls come to Christ, and they are my fruit. Amen. And if you have had the privilege of leading somebody to Christ, then they are your fruit, and they will be your fruit for eternity. So the point is that if you're in this room tonight and you're saved, you're somebody's fruit. Somebody had part of your salvation. You say, well, preacher, I did it all on my own. Well, if somebody had not been instrumental in putting this to print, you wouldn't have known what to do. Somebody's responsible for everybody saved. Some of us are responsible because we had the privilege to be one-on-one, face-to-face, telling somebody the gospel and they receiving Christ. Some of us, maybe instrumentally, we were the ones that bought the tracts and sent them out, and the tract that the person read got saved. Somebody, somewhere, is responsible for your salvation. You didn't just decide to do it. God used some tool, some place, and maybe you don't know who it was, but in eternity you will know who it was. The point is that if we're saved, we're somebody's fruit. We can never stop being fruit once we're fruit. When the Bible tells me that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in me. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. Amen? When I got saved, God, the Holy Spirit moved within Leroy DeMasalis. He's never going to leave me, never forsake me. I'm his forever. Amen. The demons can never get in because I got him in. I'm somebody's fruit. But here's the thought that God laid in my heart. You can be good fruit or bad fruit. You can be good fruit or bad fruit. What I'm simply saying is you can be saved and not doing what you ought to be doing. And then that's bad fruit. My daughter and her husband, several years ago, bought 5 acres, part of an old farm. It had 3 or 4 apple trees on it. They bought it in the fall, and the apples on the trees were about the size of golf balls. They were worm-eaten and gnarled. In fact, I told somebody if you were to squeeze those apples, you'd get more worm juice than you would apple juice. Amen? They were deformed, ungodly apples. It would be a shame to call them apples, but can I tell you what? No matter how deformed they were still fruit. Well, that fall, after the harvest was over, they had somebody come out that knew what they were doing and prune the trees. The following spring, they sprayed it. In the summer, they sprayed it. And the following fall, 1 year later, they had apples that big with no worms. Same tree, same fruit. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, if you're in this room and saved tonight, and I would assume that probably 99% of you are born again, love the Lord, saved and on your way to heaven, you're somebody's fruit. But are you good fruit or bad fruit? That's the question. Can't stop being fruit. But are you good fruit or bad fruit? With that said, let's turn to our text in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, the Lord is speaking here, of course. Isaiah is recording it. And it says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vines. And built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked," listen to it now, "he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." He said, here's what happened. This is sort of the overview. God's got a vineyard, it's called the earth. And he went so far as to save a bunch of souls. He pulled out the stone, boy. He did everything he could to be. He even put a protection around it. He did all he could do. Boy, I mean, he did it all. Saved our wicked souls, kept us from hell. He says, all I'm getting is wild fruit. All I'm getting is wild fruit. He goes on to say, what more could have been done? Wild fruit. He was flabbergasted that he had done all that, and all he was getting was wild fruit. So I started thinking about this, and I thought, you know, in the Webster's Dictionary, I look up the word wild, and it says, no controls, no restraints. I can do what I want to do. And I'm not changing the Bible, but I believe grapes are a type of fruit. I want to preach a message for a few minutes entitled Wild Fruit. And I want to preach this message to challenge us tonight to not be that. Amen? Not let us be wild fruit. Can I tell you what? I love America. I'm glad I'm an American. Spent 4 years in the United States of Marine Corps. Spent 2 years after that. And then I'm ready to die for America. But America's in trouble tonight. Spiritually, we are in trouble. And one of the problems I think I see is we got a bunch of fruit that is deformed and ungodly. They have refused to do what God says. And so our land is in trouble. So, wild fruit. Now, it's not meant to, this message is not meant to condemn us, but this message is meant to stir our hearts to not be this wild fruit. So as I thought about that, I thought about some things that I'm seeing around our land as I preach. Number one, wild fruit says, I don't want any restraints on me. Wild fruit says, I'm not going to do it. You're not going to tell me what to do. Wild fruit says, number one, I don't have to change. But my Bible tells me if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Can I tell you what? I put a stack of my gospel tracts out there. And you take all you want. I got more in the trunk. Use them as a witness tool. But on the front of this track is a picture of me when I went to prison. I was not a very good-looking character. I was one mean cuss. And I'm not saying that to brag on anything. But I like to fight and I like to brawl. And I'd go to the bars and trip men to get a fight going. I just liked it. I devoured it. I wanted to fight and drink and party and all that wickedness. When I got saved and born again, can I tell you what? God began to change me. I'm not the man I used to be. If I was, that wife of mine that's going to celebrate 50 years wouldn't have stuck with me. She'd have said goodbye. I began to change. I didn't change all at once. I don't believe anybody changes all at once. Some of us change faster than others. But can I tell you what, folks, tonight? If there's never been a change, do you have the real thing? Say amen right there. When you have the real thing, when you become somebody's fruit, the very first thing that ought to be evident is a change in your life. Amen. There ought to be a change. Can I tell you what? I got saved at 3:30 in the afternoon on June 11th. 1976. On June 12th, I noticed I wasn't cussing anymore. I wasn't using filthy words anymore. I was in prison. If there's ever a place that's got a bunch of filthy words, it's prison. I was not doing it. No, I had no preacher. I had no chaplain. And this is the day after I'm saved. There was nobody saying, don't talk like that. It was the Spirit of God that helped start changing me. And as I began to walk my life as a Christian preacher, that was the very first thing that's evidence in my life that something happened. Because if you didn't get saved till you were older, you didn't get saved so that you wouldn't cuss anymore. Salvation wasn't a matter of me cussing or not cussing. Not cussing was a product of because I got saved. God began to change me, and listen to me. We've got people today in our churches that want to live just like they lived before with no change. There's something wrong with that. We're a new creature in Christ. God has transformed us. We're going to heaven someday. Hallelujah. And there ought to be a change. I smoked 3 packs of Pall Mall Golds a day when I got saved. I'm down to 2 now. Preacher says, I hope you're not telling the truth here. I didn't see anything in the Bible that said you shouldn't smoke until one day, as I was reading the Word of God, God showed me that verse I quoted a few minutes ago. What? No, you're not your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Then he goes on to say, glorify God in your body. Where is in there, thou shalt not smoke? But the Holy Spirit brought to my attention that my body was no longer mine, it was His. And that I no longer needed to do that. And that's how God gave me victory over cigarettes. I have not had a cigarette since December 1976. I quit cold turkey 3 packs a day with the power and help of God. That was not my desire. I enjoyed smoking on them dirty old sticks. I enjoyed inhaling that wicked smoke. But it was God, because I got saved. I got the real thing. I was now somebody's fruit. And I had a desire to please Him. And so, when we get saved, church, and we become somebody's fruit, the very first thing that should start taking place is there should be changes in our lifestyle. We should have some changes starting to take. Hey, can I tell you what? I've been saved now 35 years, and He's still working on me. Amen. See, my sin now is not what I used to be that was so obvious to everybody. My sin is secret sins, not just God and me know about them. Huh? Amen. I'm telling you, I got angry at somebody here just recently within the last 30 days. I mean, I was really, and the Holy Spirit brought such conviction to me, I had to confess it as a sin. Aren't you glad I was listening? You know what's sad is if you got to the point in your spiritual life, you can't hear God anymore. When the Holy Spirit speaks, you ought to be listening. Hey, wild fruit. Wild fruit says, I don't care what you say, preacher. I don't care what the book says. I can do what I want to do. That's wild fruit. God says there needs to be a change. But number two, He says we're to be faithful at the house of God. Now, I don't know, but I wasn't here this morning, but I would venture to say there was a lot more this morning than there is tonight. We need to be faithful to church. That's what God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And people will sit home and say, I don't have to go. I was in a church this morning preaching. Listen to this. I preached a Sunday school hour. There was a man there that I had not met before in this church. I had been in this church several times before and preached, seen the Lord use the services. And this particular man came in for Sunday school. I'm going to guess him to be about 45 or 50 years old, about 6'4" tall. Came in by himself. I preached the Sunday school hour. And in the Sunday school hour, I said, wrong decisions bring tempestuous winds. And one of the worst decisions you could make is stay out of the house of God. He got up after the morning service and didn't come back for morning, or after the Sunday school hour, didn't come back for morning service. I got out of prison on a Tuesday. Prior to me getting saved, my wife and I never went to church. We didn't take kids to church. It was Tuesday. I decided we better go to church. I'd gotten saved. I'd been saved now 2.5 years. She was saved. The kids were all saved. So we started praying where to go. That Sunday morning, we went to a little church called Vision Baptist Church in Clarkston, Michigan. Brother Lloyd Barger was his name. Or if you're from down southern Illinois, it's Barger. Brother Lloyd Barger. He was a good old boy that preached the truth. And I got there Sunday morning, preacher, for Sunday school with my kids. Can I tell you what? I come walking in just like an old peacock boy with my wife and 4 kids, and they was all looking slick. That preacher recognized me when I walked in the door. He said, Mr. Demasellis, what are you doing here? I said, I got saved and just got out of prison. He said, well, glory. He preached, can I tell you what? I wept through the whole service. I had never heard the songs of Zion before. I never heard that kind of singing I just heard from these 2 people that were just up here. I wept through the whole service. I wept through the Sunday school hour. I wept through the morning service. And at the invitation, he said, if you're here and never made a public profession of your faith, you ought to come and do it today. I thought there was a bunch of us. I was the only one. Guess what I did, preacher? The preacher said I ought to do something. I believe he's man's God's man. So I just obeyed. Got up and came forward. And he said to everybody, This is Brother Demas Salas. He got saved in prison. Just want to make it public today. And then he said, don't forget church tonight at 6 o'clock. I got out in the car and I said, did you hear what that preacher said? We were in church for 2.5 hours this morning and he wants us back tonight. I was a new Christian, never been in church before. I didn't know. I thought it was Christmas and Easter. That's about all you had to go. Some of you thought the same thing one time. I got out in the car and I sat down and I looked over at my wife and I said, did you hear what he said? She said, yes. I said, well, we better go. So Sunday night, we was in church at 5:45. Sunday night, after the church. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? He said, don't forget Wednesday night prayer meeting. I thought, this guy's got a lot of nerve. He got me twice on Sunday already, and he wants me back in the middle of the week. Got out in the car again. Looked over at my wife. I said, I guess we better come back Wednesday night. Guess what? I've been doing it for over 32 years. Hallelujah. Can I tell you what, church? When we allow the devil to come in and keep us home to watch some stupid thing on television, can I have an amen?
Amen.
Or, hey, it's going to be sunny this afternoon. We were there this morning. We put our tithe in. Let's stay home and hit a few balls on the green. I'm not against the green, and I'm not against hitting a few balls, but I'm here to tell you, hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, God's word says I belong here.
Amen.
And when I refuse to come for some stupid, idiotic thing that it makes no sense at all, I'm in danger of being wild fruit. You know what most men that go to prison go back for a second bit because they don't get in church. I tell them, the greatest thing you can do is find a Bible preaching church. By the way, I don't say Baptist. I'm a Baptist. But I know some Baptist churches I wouldn't recommend. Because they've got a social club going. You know what I need when I come to church? I need some preaching. I need some conviction. I need the Holy Spirit to say, hey, Demas Salas, get right here. This is your error. Come on, Demas Salas, get it. I need to go someplace where I'm going to have it nailed to the wall. This is wrong and that's right. I tell these inmates, you find a church that's preaching the word.
Amen.
Don't come in there like this. You ought to come in there like this. Wanting something from him. Amen. Oh, wild fruit. Wild fruit says, hey, I don't have to change. Wild fruit says, I can live just like I live. Hey, can I tell you what? I was an alcoholic. The Bible calls me a drunkard. Back in 1972, I was spending $100 a night in a bar. That'd be like $1,000 a night in a bar today. I haven't had a drop of booze since I got out of prison. Because God showed me in the Bible it's wrong. But yet we got Christians today that want to sociably drink. Well, it's only 2%. Oh, puke. If it takes you 4 beers to get a little tipsy, 1 beer says you're a 4th tipsy. Amen. You say, I can't feel it. I can guarantee you from my experience with liquor and alcohol and all that wickedness and that only God, I can tell you that it takes and eases your ability to say no to sin. And there's a bunch of churches out there that are preaching it's okay as long as you don't overdo with booze. But I found that out in the Word of God and from the house of God that I wasn't supposed to do that. And I don't do it and haven't had any since. I've been dry now over 35 years. Hallelujah. And I can remember in the morning what I did last night. Glory to God. Hey, The wild fruit says I don't have to change. I can continue to live the way I did. Wild fruit says I don't have to go to church. Hey, wild fruit says I don't have to be a witness. But God says you are supposed to be. Ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God says we're to go and tell. That's God's job for you and me. Hey, what a privilege that God would give you and I an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ. He could say, I'll take care of you. You just go do something. No, he says, you want a little joy? Give birth to somebody. For the Lord I'm talking about. Give birth to somebody that's going to hell. See them transform their lives and change what's going on. Hey, I want to tell you something. God does wonderful things. And he wants to use you and me to do it. We need to be witnesses. Now, I'm the first to tell you that we're all different in our personalities. I'm a little outgoing. Now, believe it or not, when we got married, my wife was shy. She ain't as shy as she used to be. We have become one flesh. Notice the colors we have on today? She didn't come in and say, this is what you're wearing. I didn't go in and say, what are you wearing? We just got dressed because we are one. Red and black. Amen. Stand up, baby, again. Let them see. Red and black. No, she said, no, I'm not standing up. She's real submissive, you can tell. Hey, God's changed us. Amen. And he's given us a privilege to go and tell. We're all different. And here's what I believe. Brother Tom might have an edge on somebody in here about witnessing because he's been trained and so forth. But that doesn't mean the others don't have to. If you are a shy person, learn to start passing out tracts. In other words, let's just say you carry. Now, if you don't carry tracts, you're not ready. That's right. Amen. You need, hey, I just noticed in the lobby when I came in, there's a track rack there with all kinds of good gospel tracks. So I carry tracks. I have always carried tracks. I carry them. I got my life story track. I've got a Spanish-English combination track with the Romans Road. Because every once in a while, God puts a Hispanic in my path that cannot speak very good English or understand me very good. I give that track. I have a track here that says Yeshua and the Tanakh. And this is a track written by a Jew that got saved and born into the family of God and wrote it to Jews. And then I got some other track. I just carry tracks. I want to be ready to give an answer to the hope that's within me. Because God has told me to go and tell. And if you sit there in your pew or in your house or wherever you sit and say, I ain't witnessing, nobody's going to make me witness. You are on the edge of being wild fruit. Because we're told to witness. So I have found that if you'll start passing out tracts or setting them out, just set them out. I might have told you this last time I was here. My wife and I were out in February of last year. It's been a year ago now. We were out in Barstow, California. My grandson's in the Army out there. And I was preaching in Barstow Baptist Temple. We came in, flew in on Monday, got in late Monday night. Now, I don't know about your pastor, but I know about me. That flight from California to here, man, when I hit the gate, I was a running to the men's room. Hallelujah. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. I could do that commercial for him. I don't know if it makes any money or not. I got in the restroom, took care of business, and I left one of my life story tracks there. I leave my tracks everywhere I go. I did not leave one in the restroom here in the church. But I leave them everywhere I go. The following morning, I'm at my desk in my house there, and I'm working, and it's about 9:30, I get a call. Brother Leroy? I said, yes. He says, this is Brother Bob. He said, by any chance, were you at gate 78 last night at the airport? I said, yeah. He said, I found your track. Now, he was a Christian. But that just verified to me that somebody found that track. Hey, God is looking for us to be a witness. Maybe you can't walk up to somebody and say, here. But you can set it down someplace for them to pick it up. And as you begin to do that, you build your boldness to be a witness. I don't know about you, but If I'm going to pass the track out, I want them to come to my church if they're going to get saved. I want my church to benefit. So I always try to carry tracts with my church name on it when I'm in my own community. So they come to my church. Hey, what a way to build our work. What a way to have to add on to the sanctuary because we're out winning people to Christ. You say, I'm not going to do it. You're on the edge. You're on the edge. You're on the edge. I'll be in wild fruit. We ought to look for opportunities to pass our tracts. Ladies, when you go down the beer aisle at Kroger's or wherever you go, VG's, just take and roll up one of your gospel tracts and stick it down in a 12-pack. Now, nobody will know it's there until they get home. That old drunk will pull that out and find that track in there. You never know what might happen. Amen. And you don't have to be embarrassed about anything because he won't know you did it. But God will. Hey, looking for opportunities to pass out tracts. I don't know if I told you this or not, but when I go through the drive-in bank window, I've already witnessed all the girls in there. By the way, if you're going to be a witness in the girls in there and give them a track every once in a while, you ought to go through and give them a cookie or something. You know, I mean, we ought to give the gospel, but it's nice to share some other things too. There's a Harvest Bread Company down in Grand Blanc on Perry Road. They make 5 cookies for $7. They're about that big around, and they will knock your socks off. Peanut butter chocolate chip, just like Grandma makes. One day I went into the driveway window and I said, here, share these with the girls. I was not trying to do anything sensual with that woman. I was trying to give her more than this. I wanted her to see somebody real. She already got this. Amen? And every time I pull in, they're waiting now for me to come, looking for more cookies. But hey, so I'm sitting at the driving bank window. The girls already got my track. They already know about me. The guy behind me doesn't know me. He's in a pickup truck. She sends my deposit out. I take it out, and I put my track in there. Huh? He pulls up in his old big beat-up truck, pulls out that tube to stuff his stuff in, and sees that gospel track. Now, what do you think he's going to do? If he sends his deposit in with that, she thinks he's sending that in. And he don't want her to think he's spiritual. Huh? So he pulls it out and throws it on the front seat and sends his deposit in without it. Now I got it right where I want it. Amen? Amen. And how embarrassing was that? You see, the devil has got us deceived. We can have fun being a witness for Christ. And some of us are more outgoing and some of us can tell. But some of us got to build up boldness for God. But you got to start someplace. I double dog dare you to stack up on tracks today on your way out. Can I? I'm going to tell you right now. If that track pack ain't empty on your way out today, somebody on the edge of being wild fruit. There would be nothing to thrill this man's soul more. I know it because I pastored. There would be nothing to thrill this man's soul more than to see his people be witnesses. Every Monday, I have to fill that track back up. Glory to God. Wild fruit. Oh, my. Well, I got to hurry on. When we refuse to change, we're in danger of being wild fruit. When we refuse to go to church faithfully, we can be wild fruit. When we refuse to be a soul winner, we have a danger of being wild fruit. When we decide we don't need to use the altar. You know what? In America today, most churches don't even give an altar call anymore. You know why they don't? The pastor's embarrassed because his people won't come. We got to use the altar. Can I tell you tonight, and this isn't for Leroy at all, this is for you. But let's say everybody in this room is saved. Everyone in this room's got somebody lost. If you didn't do any more than come to the altar tonight and pray for your lost, whatever. Huh? But we've got this thing going on in our land where we don't think we need it. Can I tell you what God loves? Hey, God loves when he sees his people respond and come to the altar. Because you can say, well, I can sit here in my seat and do whatever I want to do. Can I tell you what? When you come to this altar and get in this position, you are humbling yourself before a holy God. And there's something about what God loves when he sees humility. Amen. He loves that humility. And can I tell you, if you were anything like me, I was one proud dude, didn't need to humble myself, but now I do. And so we need to get back to the old-fashioned altar, using this altar for the glory of God, praying, confessing, oh, doing what God would have us do, coming back to the old-fashioned altar. Wild fruit. I got a bunch of other things, but God just told me to stop. Look back at our text. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with choice vine. Can I tell you what? If you're saved in this room tonight, you are a choice vine. And God has put you in his vineyard. He's done everything he could now. Now it's up to you. He says, I thought it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Now just skip down to verse 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. What God's simply saying is, if you're going to be persistent in being wild fruit, you'll take away his protection. See how far we get like that. You know what? I wouldn't want to drive from here back to Grand Blanc tonight without God's hand of protection. And he told us that he put protection around the garden, or if you will, the world, the vineyard, or if you will, the world. He has given us protection. We are his people. But if we persist in being wild fruit, not doing the things that he says to do, he said, what am I going to do? What other choice do I have, preacher? Well, I'll just take away my protection for a little while. I'll see how they like that. I tell men in prison all the time, I wouldn't want to walk down any hallway in prison without God's protection. Because they got knives that you can't see. They call them shivs. And they all have them in different places. When I was in prison, there was one guy. You men know these single-edged razor blades? They're real skinny, plastic, throwaway Bics. Shaving. That little thin blade's only about 3/8 of an inch high and about two, maybe an inch and a half wide. I mean, it's just he carried that on his tongue all day long as his way of defense in prison. And if somebody got in his face, he would take that out off his tongue, put it between his two fingers, and slash your face wide open. I don't want to walk out to the parking lot without God's protection. Hey, let's not be wild fruit. Let's be a group. And I know you all are. God just wanted me to remind you tonight. I know you all are. I can sense when I walk in the building tonight the Spirit of God. But let's get out and go do it, and let's save America from itself. Let's turn America back to God, and let's start right here in Clyle. Wild fruit. Oh, I don't want to be wild fruit. He picked me up out of the miry clay, put my feet upon a rock, and preacher, he put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wild fruit. Sure don't want God to take away the hedge. Let's all bow our heads.